Good morning, Northside. All right, a couple of things. First of all, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but our 30 days of prayer, someone was gracious enough to type it up. So now you can take this on your way out the door and in your prayer time, or put it up in your refrigerator, or put it up next to your bathroom mirror, or whatever it is. You spend a few minutes idly and on the coffee table and just pray for a few people at a time, or however the Spirit leads you. But I promise you, if you put it somewhere in your home, you're going to remember it a lot more than if you just have to dig it out of your phone or dig it out of somewhere else. So please do take one of these today. Put it somewhere where you will remember to lift each other up in prayer. I also wanted to just entice you. Usually our Thanksgiving service, there's a lot of people here. So this is so far our menu for Thanksgiving. Pies, dessert, and banana pudding. We will have two chickens, but that's probably going to only be enough for my family. So I don't know what the rest of you are going to eat, but we need some sign up on our Thanksgiving potluck if we want to have some food to give thanks for. Because otherwise, we're just going to be bouncing off the walls with a lot of sweets. So that's going to be over there. Please, please, please sign up. Also, our Joyce Meyer conference. Joyce Meyer is a powerful speaker. If you haven't had the opportunity to listen to her, I say just take out your phone now, right now, not during the service today, but take out your phone sometime and just YouTube her and listen to what she has to say. She spends so much time praying over her messages and what she has to give and what the Spirit puts on her heart. People take off of work and they travel across the country just to hear what she has to say. It's a gift that we can just watch it here in the comfort of Northside, and that we don't even have to take off of work. It's Friday night after work is done for most people, and it's Saturday. So please sign up with Lori if you haven't already done so. It's powerful. And then the last thing is happy birthday, Northside, because today is our 9th anniversary. You are 9 years old, Northside. Now, we all change and we all develop in our own time, but 9 years old is about the time that the hormones start going crazy in regular human adolescence. And so, Northside, I want you to prepare yourself for spiritual puberty, because that's what happens, and we need to see some growth when that kind of thing happens. So celebrate absolutely that we are 9 years old. You know, most church plants are done within the first 5 years. I think it helped with Northside that none of us knew what we were doing. So we had to completely rely on God, but I'm so excited for what God has for us in this next year and for the next 9 years. So please be prepared for that, and please be prepared to grow and prepared to be obedient to whatever it is God needs you to do in this next year, in this next 9 years to grow. So with that being said, let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the past 9 years. Thank you for that first morning on Clark Street, Father God, when we got all prepared and we prayed over the chairs and we were so excited and David walked in the door. I'm never going to forget that moment, Father God, because I had in my mind one thing of what I thought the church was going to be like, and you totally blew that out of the water with the very first person in the door. And I'm just so thankful that that we went in your direction and not mine. Father God, I pray that you would continue to lead this church, continue to bring whoever it is you want to bring into this door. But Father God, I also pray for a little holy fire under all of us, that you would help us to grow and not become complacent. I know that this is not the destination for Northside Community Church. This is just part of the journey. So I pray that you lead us in word, lead us as we read your word, lead us as we worship together, Father, and give us the courage through your Holy Spirit to grow and to change into the people you called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so welcome back to week 3 of I Declare War. In our first week here of this new series, Carrie talked to us about how we should be thinking like wolves. Wolves has been this analogy we've been following. If it's your first time, you're like, what in the world does a wolf have to do with it? Just hang on. We'll get there eventually. But we have to think or watch the thoughts that we have in our mind, because the thoughts that we have eventually become our actions, right? So that's kind of where it starts. We have to be careful of how we're thinking. And sometimes we have to take our thoughts captive to God's word and make sure that they match. And then she followed up last week with how to speak like a wolf. We learned how important it is to watch what we say, because Scripture tells us on Judgment Day, we will give an account for every idle word we speak. And that was really convicting to me, because it didn't just say, we'll give an account for every sermon you preach, Bucky, or for every word that you think through when you say. says you're going to give an account for every idle word you speak. And so from thoughts to speech, that naturally leads us to think about our actions. So today we're going to be talking about how to act like a wolf. Because if all our love for God only amounts to thoughts and words, if that's where it ends, right, then this whole faith thing that we're doing is literally nothing more than good intentions. When the things that we think and the things that we say don't lead us to change our lives, right? When they don't lead us into new actions and new waves of living, then unfortunately we become hypocrites, people that say one thing but do another, right? Then our faith becomes pretend. James 2, 14 through 17 says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, 'Goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well.' Then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do?" So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, I don't know about you, I don't want dead and useless faith. Am I the only one that doesn't want dead and useless faith? I want living, vibrant faith. I want that saving faith that leads us into action. Because it's not enough to think and speak like a wolf. We have to act like one too. So we're going to start today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul is really in kind of the last part of his letter there. This is the last chapter in 1 Thessalonians. And he's talking to them about not being caught by surprise when Jesus returns. He says, "But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are children of the light and of the day." I don't want to stop here for a moment. He goes on, but I just want to pause here. I know Paul is talking to the church in Thessalonica in the year, like, 51 AD. But I think this also applies to us here in Chicago, 2019. If we are children of God, right, if we have placed our faith in God's Son, Jesus, and we are living out that faith in our daily lives, then we are children of the light and children of the day. That's how God sees us. Now, what exactly does that mean? For us to be children of the light and children of the day. Well, Scripture tells us, 1 John, God is light. Right? So light is a common metaphor used in the Bible. So being children of the light means we're children of God. Jesus also used this light picture to talk about our good works. "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds." That comes from Matthew 5:16. So Paul is affirming their identity. Right? You're not going to get caught unawares. You're not going to be misled because you're a child of God. See, I believe the way we see ourselves, the identity that we take on, has a lot to do with our actions, right? The way we live our lives, the way we see ourselves, they're connected. So let me ask you a deep, deep philosophical question. Who are you? Right? What would be your answer to that question? Who are you? Who is Tracy? Who is Sam? Who is Marcus? Like, if you were to just make a list in your mind right now of those labels, if someone were to ask you, who are you? What would be those labels you'd apply to yourself? Just think it through right now. What are those things you find your identity in? Because who we choose to be shows the world what we value. Right? For example, we can assume that an investment banker values money. Right? That makes sense. Those are the choices he makes. That's the way he lives his life. We can assume that a college professor values education. Maybe he values helping children. The identities we choose show people what we value. Now, the sad reality is that many people in this world really don't choose their identity. They simply internalize the values and the opinions of their parents. Or they internalize the values and the opinions of their culture or of their friends. And there's danger in that because we can find our identities in really unhealthy places too. Right? We can define ourselves by things like our past pain, our past mistakes, our guilt. We can define ourselves by our sin. And sometimes we can even define ourselves by the sin that other people committed against us. But those things don't define us. Right? That's not God's plan. We are not our shame. We are not our parents. We're not our friends. We're not even what our parents and friends think of us. Right? We are not defined by our dysfunctions or by our tendencies to overeat or by our tendencies to be obsessive compulsive. We're not defined by our addictions. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we become a brand new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new one has begun. So we're new, right? We're not who our family thinks we are. We're not how this world defines us. That person does not exist anymore, right? So to quote the great theologian Taylor Swift, I'm sorry, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. She's dead, right? Or as Paul said it, have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, you were joined with his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. You didn't know Taylor Swift was such a theologian, did you? The old us is supposed to be dead. We have a new identity in Christ. And how we define ourselves should be new too. Right? If you don't have a different identity, if you don't see yourself different now once you come to Christ, you need to think that through. Right now, there might be some identities that we hang on to from our past, right? Some identities we'll continue to have, like mother, father, sister, teacher. But with this new life in Christ, there is one identity that takes precedent over all of them, and that is being a child of God. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to see us that way in the beginning, or that we're even going to see ourselves that way all the time, because we might be tempted to fall back into some old identities. Right, whether it's because we're visiting family members, holidays are coming up, right? Sometimes we visit family members and we forget our new identity. Or sometimes the enemy reminds us of our past. But when that kind of stuff happens, we need to stop and remind ourselves, right? And remind each other who we truly are, like Paul's doing here. He says, for you are children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and the night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. So first things first, if we are going to act like children of God, then we need to see ourselves that way. And when we're tempted to fall back into those old identities, those old habits, we need to stop and remind ourselves who we are. We are children of God, right? I'm a child of the light and a child of the day. I don't belong to the darkness or to the night. I don't do those things. I don't live that way. I don't drive that way. I don't talk that way. I don't respond that way anymore. Right? That's who I was, but that is not who I am. How we see ourselves will have a huge impact on what we do. Honestly, that's kind of the reason behind our theme for this year. We are Northside. It's about an identity. And that's why we paint it on the walls. That's why you see it and say it every Sunday. If we want real change in our lives, then we need to start realizing we are new and different now. And so we are going to act in new and different ways. And you know, I've noticed this trend in our American Christian culture where we started kind of glorifying the old nature. Or we started kind of glorifying those old identities. Or we try to walk a little bit in the light and we try to walk a little bit in the dark. Right? We're children of the light, usually, but sometimes we're children of the night. You may have noticed this too, especially if you're on Facebook. I saw a couple of memes in the past month that just kind of caught my eye. First one says, I'm a Christian, but don't mess with me because I'm from the south side of the kingdom. That's funny. Although, I have to say, my favorite one is the next one of the two. It says, holy, with a hint of hood, pray with me, but don't play with me. In a lot of ways, you know, it's clever, it's really funny, but in another way, it's kind of sad. 1 John 3:1-10 says, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they're righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the very beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Now, does this mean that we will not continue to sin if we truly love God? No, that's not what I'm saying. Sin is always going to be a struggle for us this side of heaven. But we cannot make a practice of sinning. See, anytime we're okay with sin, right? Anytime we decide that we're just going to sin in this one little area of our lives, or anytime we make peace with our decision to disobey God, even if it's just for like a little while, or in a one little area of our lives, that is practicing sin. Scripture says, now be very clear, this is not Bucky's opinion, right? This is what's in Scripture, right? Scripture says if we live our lives that way, if we are practicing sin, then we are not children of God. 1 John 3:10. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Right? So these things are not so funny, really. Earlier in the same letter, John says, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. Interesting, it's the same word choice, right? We can practice truth or we can practice sinning. Who we are, how we see ourselves, it matters. It makes a huge difference in the choices we make in our lives. And I know, right? I know there are people in this room right now who are walking around calling themselves children of God, but at the same time, I'm trying not to make any eye contact right now, by the way. There are people in this room, I know, right, who are walking around calling themselves children of God, but at the same time, they're continuing to sin on purpose. They're practicing sin. And because I love you, Northside, right, because I love you, I don't want anyone here to walk around believing something that's not true, especially something as important as our relationship with Christ. I don't want anybody to be surprised when Jesus comes back. Right? Again, because I love you, I want to make sure you know you can't have it both ways. It's not Bucky's opinion on this. This is what Scripture says. If we are making purposeful choices to live in the dark, if we're making purposeful choices to sin, not that we're not going to struggle with sin, right? We all struggle with sin. But if we find ourselves making plans to sin, right? And if when our sin is revealed to us, it doesn't bother us, that we're not repentant for it, that we don't care, then Scripture says we're not children of God. I mean, let that sink in for a minute. Sometimes we excuse our sin. Sometimes we rationalize our sin. Sometimes we know we're sinning, and we don't care. Now, if that hits you square between the eyes today, if that's news to you, or if that's a wake-up call for you, it's not too late, because we can change our identity, our behavior today. Those songs we sang in the beginning, right, how we are not who we once were, about how all things can be made new, if we realize today that we have not been acting as children of God, we can fix that now. In fact, the very next thing that John writes, right, is that if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. But that means we can come to God today in confession, and he will not only forgive us, but he will cleanse us from all that garbage. He'll cleanse us from the sin we practiced. And he makes us new today. We can have a new identity before we walk out of that door today. Right? We can become, if we weren't already before, children of God. In fact, if that's weighing heavy on your hearts right now, let's just take a moment and talk to God. Right? Confess to him what you need to confess. Cleanse yourself. Let's just bow our heads right now. Father God, I ask you to lead our hearts right now. Some of these truths are hard to believe. I just pray, Father God, if there's anyone in this room right now that is continuing to justify sin, continuing to argue with you and argue with your word, Father God, that you would just remove whatever barriers are there. And I pray that you would lead our hearts into the areas in our lives that we have not been living according to your word, and we know it. Show us those areas that we have refused to obey. We bring them to you in confession now, Father God, because we no longer want to live that way. We don't want to live that way. We want to live following you, Father God. So please come into our lives and help us to embrace who we are as children of God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, once we embrace that identity, right, once that we embrace that new identity, once we know who we are, once we know whose we are, how do we make sure we keep living and acting the way that God calls us to live and act? How do we make sure we learn to live and walk in the light? We get into what? We are Northside. We are in God's word, right? That's why it's first. That's the most important thing. That's how we learn to walk in the light. Right, so let's turn our focus to James. James 1, 22 through 27. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and you don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you looked like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. You know what keeps jumping out at me today? What keeps jumping out at me all week long, over and over again, is a really, really scary idea. It's this idea that it is possible to fool ourselves into believing we are Christians when we're not. James says, if we just listen to God's word and we don't do what it says, then we are fooling ourselves. Right? And Jesus himself told us in Matthew 7, 21, not everyone who calls out, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually, what? Do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. It's about our actions. It's about what we do, because our actions, not our words, reveal what we truly believe. Guys, when Jesus comes back, there's going to be this whole group of believers who think they're going to heaven with him, but they're not. That's scary, right? Isn't that sad to think through? Jesus explains it. He says on Judgment Day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We perform many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me. You who, what? Break God's laws. Again, Northside, I love you too much to let you be fooled. It is not enough to think about Scripture and memorize it and talk about it. We have to obey it. We have to live it out. James says, if you listen to the word and you don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, why do we look in mirrors? Right? So we can check the way we look, right? And we can fix it, right? If there's something going on, anything that's wrong. Sometimes in the morning in the Hempen house, right, before my boys go to school, I just say five little words to them, right? I say, go look in the mirror. Because I know, right, once they see themselves, they're going to want to fix that stuff, right? I don't have to tell them what's wrong, right? Just go look in the mirror. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong with our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Reading God's word and not doing what it says is like looking at your hair in the mirror, seeing that mess that's up there, turning around and forgetting to fix it. Like you keep walking about your day, even though you got this big old mess on the top of your head. When we look at God's word and we see something we should be doing, but we don't. Or when we see something that we shouldn't be doing, but we continue to do it, we just keep going about our days with this big mess of sin in our lives. And because we read it in Scripture, and because we know what God wants for us, and because we chose not to do it, and if we are unrepentant, that is practicing sin. James goes on, but, right, there's always another side to that. Because we can always turn things around, can't we? If we realize that we're living that way, Scripture always says that was who you were, but that's not who you are and who you can be. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and you don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Our obedience to God comes with unbelievable blessing. It really does. Right? Anyone who lives their life trying to be obedient to God and being really repentant when we sin, because we're all going to sin. Right? Sin is just a fact of living on this side of heaven. We live in a sinful world. We've got the flesh to worry about. We've got the enemy to worry about. We've got the culture to worry about. We're going to struggle with sin. But anyone who's living their life, being repentant of the sin that's there and trying to live obediently to God, they'll tell you how awesome it is to live in God's blessings. Because God's blessings are not little things. Right? God's blessings are great big things. They are life-changing things. So Northside, I have to ask you, because I have a feeling that sometimes people might hear a message like this today, they might recognize their sin, they know how important it is to be obedient to God, and yet they're still sometimes planning not to do whatever it is they read in Scripture. Or they're still planning not to do whatever it is that God keeps putting on their hearts. And I don't know what it could be. Maybe it's tithing. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's taking a step of faith. Maybe it's stepping away from a job. It could be any number of things. But Northside, what is it that's allowing you not to experience God's blessing? And what is it that's keeping you from fully embracing your identity as a child of God? Think it through. What is it? What's the reason? Is it fear? Fear of the unknown? Fear of losing control? Fear of being alone? Is it other people's opinion of you? Do you really care more about what other people think than you care about what God thinks? You know, I got a picture. This is one that I struggle with from time to time. Actually, who am I kidding? I struggle with it quite a bit. But God gave me a picture this week, I think for myself, but maybe it'll help you too. I got this picture of me standing in a group of my friends or a group of peers, and we're talking, and there's a garbage can right next to me, and I look over, and I see in the garbage can, and there's a $100 bill there, right? And I could lean over and pick up that $100 bill, but what if my friends call me a garbage picker? Right? Now, the reality is, if that were to happen in real life, I don't think I'd ever pick up the $100 bill. Like, I don't care if it's got ketchup on it. I don't care if it's in the middle of someone's sandwich. Like, I'm looking over, I'm leaning, I'm picking that thing up. If it's at the bottom of the trash can, like, I'm going to go diving for it. Why? Because it's a $100 bill. They can call me what they want to call me, right? I don't know how you feel about that, but that's where my heart is. And yet, my obedience to God, my identity as a child of God is worth so much more than a $100 bill. Yet, why am I keeping the opinion of other people from reaching down and grabbing it? Because I'm afraid of what they're going to say? Don't let other people's opinion keep you from fully embracing your identity as a child of God. Or maybe you struggle with shame. Are you believing a lie today that you're not lovable or that God would never forgive you? That's a lie. Is it anger? Are you mad at God for some reason? Are you withholding your obedience, trying to make him feel as bad as you feel? Is it selfishness or pride? Do you really think that in your short life, 40, 50, 60 years, whatever you have, that you know more than the God who created this universe knows? Do you really think you know what's better for your life than he does? Whatever it is, I promise you, you are only fooling yourself. And you're only hurting yourself, not only because you keep yourself from God's blessings, but you are also continuing to walk in the darkness. And Scripture tells us, this is Jesus talking, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered the boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the flour at the mill. One will be taken, and the other will be left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know the day when the Lord is coming. I know that sometimes we tell ourselves, we will be obedient when we get the new job. Or we will be obedient when we get a little older. Or we'll be obedient when we have kids, or when we're more financially stable, or when school is over. But honestly, number one, that's a huge risk to take with eternity. Scripture guarantees us that his return is going to be a surprise. Could be a good surprise, could be a bad surprise. Two, if you're not generous with the little bit that you have now, you won't be generous when you have more. It's not a money issue. It's a character issue. It's generosity. It's obedience. It's trust. And three, children, like old age, do not guarantee wisdom, right? Or holiness. It's just going to be a different set of sin struggles. It does not get easier as you get older. But you know what does make it easier? The more you do it, the easier it gets. The more you obey God, the easier it is to obey God. So find a place to start. Find something you know he wants you to do in his life and start there. I promise you it will get easier. And don't wait until later. Right? Embrace your identity as a child of God and start living it out now. Don't just talk about it. Don't just think about it, but actually do it. And the last thing I want us to think about today, because I do want to bring things kind of a full circle, I want to bring it right back to wolves. Because for the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about how some of those great characteristics that wolves have are the things we need in our faith life, right? Because they've got the courage to stand out. They know how to protect their loved ones. They are determined, and they never surrender. And today, I want to talk a little bit about the importance of the pack. The strength of the wolf is the pack, and the strength of the pack is the... Oh, yeah, what's anybody know what that's from? It's the Jungle Book, just a great book. I love that book. In a pack, wolves stick together. Right? They fight for each other. A wolf cub that has a pack, that has a mom, knows that even when the hunting party goes out, that one of the wolves, sometimes more than one of the wolves, is going to stay back and take care of the cub. It might not even be the mom. If the mom is a better hunter, she's going to go hunt. Someone else is going to stay behind and take care of the kids. They know that a lone wolf has no protection. A wolf that's off by itself is easy prey, right? Easy prey for a rival wolf pack because they don't have a family. They don't have anybody to fight beside them. No one to help them when they're sick or injured. And wolf packs are so organized. It's almost like a little army. They even know who's in charge. They've got an alpha wolf. They got a beta wolf. They got this whole pecking order. If we had more time today, I'd love to kind of like go through that. Those are really fascinating things, how they live together. But the connection I want us to make this morning is that life is better when we have our own pack. That group of people who takes care of each other. That family unit that cares and defends for us when we are weak or when we are injured. Right? That takes turns playing different roles in our lives because we know how important it is to look out for each other. As we kind of wrap up this message today about acting like a wolf, I want us to think about who's in our pack. Who are you doing life with? Because as believers, it's not only important that we have a pack, it's important to make sure those people in our pack want the same things we want, right? Especially when it comes to living obediently to God and his word. Now, you may have heard that people say something like, we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. This is something that's actually been studied, and it even works out financially, right? If you take the five closest people in your life, and you were to average out their income, your income level actually comes incredibly close to their income level. It's been studied in all kinds of groups, probably only in America, I'm guessing, but that's where the research comes from, but it's there. The people we spend the most time with shape who we are. They determine what conversations dominate our attention. They affect the attitude and the behaviors that we are regularly exposed to. And eventually, we start to think and behave like they do. Right? Because what happens when we get habituated in an environment is eventually water seeks its own level. Right? And so you start to hang out with people, or the more you start to hang out with people, the more you start to rise and lower to their level. Right? You can rise and lower to their level of humor. You ever notice how you take on other people's sense of humor the more you spend time with them? I used to work with junior high kids, and I have to tell you that all of my adult friends would just roll their eyes at me because I would giggle at the stupidest things because I spent all day long with junior high kids. I lowered down to their level because that's who I spent most of my day with. We can rise and lower to the level and intake of food that they eat. Ever notice how you eat more or drink more with certain people? Right, when my family gets together, it is food fest. Right, Maria and I actually have a goal that before my family comes in for a visit, we got to drop 10 pounds before they get here because we're gonna bring it back. Right, it's true. Right, we raise and we lower the choice of words that with people use. Right, it's a lot easier to swear around certain people than it is around others. It's even true that we will rise and lower to their level of love and obedience to God. Right? They even have brain scans where you can literally see brain waves get in sync with people who hang out with each other more often. So we have to be careful, right? We want to love on people and preach the gospel to people from all over the world and from every walk of life. But we need to be very careful about those people we are closest to, those people in our pack. because we're going to end up the average of our five closest friends. That's just part of human nature. That's why small groups, right, that study the Bible together are a great way to start a pack. You can see right away what's important to people. And we need to fill our pack with other believers who act like wolves. Those people who are doers of the word and not just hearers. Those people who walk in the light and not in the darkness. Those people who will hold us accountable and who will remind us, you can't be a little bit of hood and a little bit of holy. Right? That's not who you are anymore. You are a child of God. You are a child of the light, and we need to act like it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it teaches us how to live. Thank you for the mirror that it is. We pray that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit not to walk away and forget what we read, but to actually do what it says. To act like a wolf, not just think, not just talk, but act like a wolf. I pray for those this morning who are struggling with fear or shame or control or pride or anything, Father, that's keeping us from being obedient. Help us to let nothing stand in the way of living this life for you. Let today be the day that we stop making excuses and start living out our new identity as children of God. I pray for those of us who have an abundance of people in our lives that remind us of who we used to be, or who are stumbling blocks to the life we want. I pray for those of us that are about to head at holiday time right into the lion's den of our families. Help us to be wise. Help us to make hard choices for who we need to keep inside our pack. And thank you, Father God, again for your word, that it always awakens us to the truth of what it means to live in the light and walk in the light. I pray that no one here would be fooling themselves this morning into believing they're something they're not. Help us not only to think about it and talk about it, but help us to live out our faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Let's stand together, sing our last song.